Good morning. Good to see everyone today. And if you want to, you can turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're in a study on the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're looking at the fifth fruit that's mentioned, which is kindness, the fruit of kindness. The Holy Spirit wants to grow kindness in each one of our lives. What does kindness look like? Would you know it if you saw it? Kindness can be as small as a smile. It can be as large as a hug. It can be a kind word spoken. That's kindness. That's kindness. And this is the fruit that God wants to grow in each one of our lives. You see, our God is a kind God. Look at what Paul writes in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. He says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Our God is kind, and He shows His kindness to us in pardoning our sins, in answering our prayers, in meeting our needs, and giving us His Holy Spirit so that He can grow the fruit that we're examining here in Galatians, the fifth chapter. And so our God has a lot to say about the topic of kindness because He wants us to be a kind people. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And so our God has a lot to say about kindness. Colossians 3, verse 12, he tells us, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And so our God wants us to be kind to one another. You see, kindness will stand out in the crowd. You can see kindness a mile away. You can't miss it when you see it. It's someone who holds the door when you know that someone else is going to be walking out behind you. That's kindness. That's kindness. You can see it miles and miles away. It just stands out. It's a powerful, powerful thing, kindness is. Kindness is countercultural. It goes against the grain of our culture. Our culture is not kind. Our culture is anything but kind. Are there kind people out there? Absolutely. But our culture as a whole is not kind. There's so much violence that goes on. There's gun violence that goes on in cities all over America. When we were in Cincinnati, there was a couple that were nearly beaten to death. And the police chief basically said it was okay, which is an amazing thing to me, because he said, well, he's a Russian national. He was born and raised in this country. Yes, his parents were from Russia, but he was born and raised here. He's an American citizen. But they just justified it. It's crazy. So our culture is anything but kind. And so God wants us to be kind. Why? Because we have to be careful. Our culture, if we're not careful, rubs off on us. We become like the culture around us, and we're told not to do that, right? We're told not to be conformed to this world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Here's something that's very important. Kindness can change a family. It can change a work environment. It can change a friendship. Kindness can change the family dynamic. Kindness can make a family so much better than it is without kindness. Kindness makes a huge difference. And it'll change your work environment as well. I mean, and that's what we need, I think, in some work environments. Just a little bit of kindness, because people like to snap at one another, you know, and just be snippety and rude. And rude is not kindness. But kindness can change a work environment. It can change a friendship. It can cause a friendship to become so much deeper and meaningful than it is otherwise. And so kindness, as we think about it, is love in motion. It's not an action, or it's not an emotion. It's an action. It's an event. You see, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, four through seven. Paul tells us what love is. And in that section, he says, love is kind. Love is kind. That's what love is. And so, kindness is love in action. That's what it is. And so today, we're going to just briefly look at three different people groups that we need to show kindness to. Number one, show kindness to family and friends. This is so important. You know, open the door for your wife, the car door. You know, she's going to get in, open the car door and assist her getting in the car. Or open the car door so that she can get out of the car. Help her carry the groceries into the house. That's kindness. And speak kind words to her. Show appreciation for all the things that she does. And wives need to speak kindly to their husbands as well, because it works both ways. I mean, husbands can sometimes growl at the wife, but the wife can growl back pretty good times, right? And so we want to be kind to one another. You know, offer to help him and maybe in some project around the house. He might need a little bit of help. Sometimes someone just to hold a light. That's kindness. Just to offer assistance is kindness, whether it's needed or not. It's so important. Fill the car up with gas rather than make her do it. Right? It's just a nice little gesture. It's just kindness is what it is. You know, send flowers to your mother. Or call your mom if your mom is still alive. Show love and kindness to your mother. Help your father do yard work. You know, as you get older, yard work becomes a whole lot more difficult, right? I mean, just weed eat around your whole yard, you're beat to death already before you even get on the mower. And so it's hard work. And the older you get, the harder it becomes. And so just to offer to help your father do some yard work or chores around the house that needs to be done. You can see how kindness can just change the family dynamic in a powerful, powerful way. If we just did these small little things, how much better our homes would be, our relationships would be. If you know someone who needs a helping hand, offer to help them, because that's kindness. That's kindness. So we need to show kindness to our family, and we need to show kindness to our friends. This is what God wants us to do. Now, this is not natural. It's not natural to show kindness. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This comes from God. We're not capable of growing this fruit in our lives ourselves. We need God to help us to do this. Because you follow the culture in the world. It's just not natural to be kind. It's just not natural. It's not a natural thing. You have to work at being kind. I was thinking about this the other day, and yesterday we went to the grocery store because we were lacking some things having been out of town for a week. And a woman, and of course I'm thinking about this sermon, I'm thinking about kindness and being kind, and a woman was getting some stuff out of the freezer, and she dropped some things on the ground, and I just went over and picked them up. And gave them to her so that she wanted them. She can put it in the cart. If she wanted to put them back, she could do that. But it's a small thing. It's not a big thing. It's nothing. But what a difference that makes in a person's life. It just cheers them up to know that someone cares enough to help in a situation like that. It's just a small thing. But what a difference it makes. So don't take kindness for granted. This is a supernatural thing. This comes from God. He's the one who grows this in our lives. We don't create kindness on our own. It comes from God. But there's a second people group we need to show kindness to. Show acts of kindness to someone who cannot return the favor. It's easy to do for others when there's something in it for you. When there's some reward, that's easy to help. It's easy to help someone when there's a little bit at the end of the line. But when there's nothing, are you still willing to help? We need to help like the homeless. The homeless. Yeah, the homeless. We need to help them. And that's kindness. There's a guy on YouTube that I watch sometimes. His name is Jeff Gray. He's a veteran of the Army. He was a truck driver, like my friend Donnie was a truck driver in the Army. But anyway, he goes all over America in different cities just exercising his constitutional rights. He wants to make sure law enforcement respect his rights. But also, he just wants to draw attention to our homeless veterans. So he goes all over and he'll go to City Hall, hold that sign, please pray for our homeless vets. That's all he says. People get so upset over that because he's on City Hall, you know, and which is a traditional form. This is where people always met, right? It's a traditional place to meet. So he just wants to make sure people respect his First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, and Fourth Amendment. You know, not having to give up ID unless you've committed a crime. He's been arrested numerous times just saying, pray for our homeless vets. Pray for our homeless vets. He doesn't take any money. He says, pray for our homeless vets. That's all he does. And they call that solicitation. He says, well, it's illegal in many places. He said, no, it's a constitutional right. And the Supreme Court has already ruled you can ask for help. You can ask for money. The city may say it's against their ordinance, but it's a constitutional right to speak. It's your First Amendment right. And to ask someone for help is not wrong. It's a right that we all have. But he goes all over doing this. And every time he's been arrested, all the charges every time are dropped because he doesn't do anything wrong. And then he makes the city apologize. And then he sues them for $1,776, which is the founding of our country, right? And then he takes that money and he gives it to the veterans. That's what he does. But it's just an act of kindness. He's showing kindness. He's drawing attention to our homeless vets. We need to think about our homeless vets. These people have served our country, put their lives on the line. The least we could do is pay attention to them and help them and give them the help that they need to maybe get off the streets. And so it's just an act of kindness that he's doing, as well as flexing his constitutional right muscles, lest you lose them. And then, you know, help the elderly, right? Many of the elderly can't do a lot of things around the yard or in the home, and so they need help. And so let's help these people. They're not able to return the help. The homeless are not able to return anything, right? They don't have anything. And so we're offering to help them. As well as the elderly. They really can't offer a lot too. They can't come, well, I'll go help you with your project. They don't have the stamina. They don't have the strength. They don't have the ability any longer to do hard work. We need to show acts of kindness toward people who cannot return the favor. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, David now comes to the throne. Saul's dead. And really, Jonathan should have been the next guy to the throne, being Saul's child. But David and Jonathan were really close friends. And Jonathan didn't mind David going to the throne at all. But anyway, when Saul died, he then asked, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I can show kindness to? Now, you all know how Saul dogged David's tracks all the way, right? He tried to take David out numerous times. But yet he wants to show kindness to the house of Saul. And Ziba says, yes, there's a young man, his name is Mephibosheth. He is a lame. In fact, he refers to himself in 2 Samuel 9, verse 8, as a dead dog. And David gives Mephibosheth all the land that belonged to Saul, and then he allowed Mephibosheth to eat at his table the rest of his days. This was David wanting to show kindness. We need to show kindness to those who cannot return. Mephibosheth could not return any favor. He was lame. He had nothing. He couldn't do anything. And yet, David showed kindness to this person who could not return kindness in like manner. This is what God calls us to do. It's not easy. It's not easy being kind. And we'll have moments when we're kind, but are we consistently kind? That's where we fall down. We're inconsistent. But there's a third area where we need, third people group we need to show kindness to, and that is to those when it may not be deserved. All right? And God is our example here. Going back to Titus chapter 3, you know, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Our God graciously saved us. He didn't need to save us. He wasn't required to save us. He loved us so much that he wanted us to be in a relationship with him. He created us to be in a relationship with him. And through sin, that relationship was lost. That's why he sent Jesus, so that relationship could be restored. That's kindness. We didn't deserve it, but yet he showed it to us. And this is an example for us to live by, to follow his example, to be kind as our Father in heaven is kind. We need to show kindness to those who treat us bad. Show kindness to those who cut you off in traffic. Show kindness to those who speak evil of you. See, it's hard. It's hard to be kind now, right? It's easy, and maybe some of those other examples I gave, but now it's hard because what do you do when someone cuts you off? Do you show kindness? I see a lot of what people do when they get cut off, and it's anything but kindness, right? It's not kindness. It's not kindness at all. And so could you be kind and say, oh, sure, go on ahead and get in front of me. That's no problem. You know, sure, wave at them, you know, with the whole hand, wave at them. Wave at them. It's what you want to do. It's just an act of kindness. And, you know, those who speak bad of you, think about that. Those who say things against you, wanting to hurt you. It's hard to show kindness to that person or persons who do those things. But yet, this is what God calls us to do. There's an example I saw. I thought it was a pretty cool example. There was a guy by the name of Randy Murphy. He just got off work, and he turned on his radio really, really loud. So loud that it caused the police officer who was around the corner to catch ear of his loud music. And so this police officer by the name of Mark Taylor pulled him over. And he asked for his license. He says, I don't have one. And he said, why don't you have a license? He says, I don't read well enough to pass the test. So, Mr. Taylor, the police officer, said, I would like to help you with that. And he gave him his pager number. So this is before cell phones, all right? And so Randy Murphy took his pager number, and then he paged him to set up the first meeting. And for 3 months, this police officer helped his reading. And every time he went to take the test, this police officer went to the DMV with him just to encourage him and inspire him. It took him 6 tries, but on the 6th try, he passed. Of course, he breezed through the driving. But what did he deserve? I mean, he deserved to get his car towed. He probably deserved to go to jail. It's against the law to drive without a driver's license. You can't do that. It's against the law. They don't like when you do that. And they usually will take you to jail and tow your car. And they have every right to do that. But this police officer didn't do that. Instead, he showed kindness. Now, how many police officers would do this? Not many. And as a result of this, he was the policeman of the month. He should have been policeman of the year. I mean, he gave 3 months of his life to help this man read well enough that he could pass his driving test. He should have been given tickets. His car should have been towed, but that's not what he did. He showed kindness instead. to someone who really didn't deserve kindness. So what about you? What about you? How are you doing when it comes to kindness? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to grow the fruit of kindness in my life? Is He growing that in my life? Is it abundant in my life? Am I showing enough kindness to people around me? Or maybe just to select people? Do I need to be more kind? That's a good question. Do I need to be more kind? And maybe that's you today. And I tell you, you have the ability to be more kind because you have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. And we know that from Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when the crowd asked on the day of Pentecost what they needed to do to be saved. And Peter says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says clearly, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So He lives in us, and He wants to produce this fruit in our lives. But sometimes we resist. We do what Paul says don't do in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. We quench the Spirit. We hinder His work. We don't allow Him to produce kindness or love or joy. Any of the fruit that's mentioned here, we keep Him from growing this fruit in our lives. We need to be open to what He wants to do. Allow Him to have free reign inside of you. Allow Him to change you. Don't resist the change. Allow God to transform you, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to change all of our lives so that we live sanctified, holy, and godly lives in this present evil world. And so today, if you need to grow in the area of holiness, I encourage you to get on your knees and talk to God and pray and say, God, I find this hard to do, but I know that I can do it through your Holy Spirit. Help me. And God will help you. And many opportunities are going to come your way because God wants to help you grow in kindness. So He'll give you opportunities to do this. Perhaps someone will cut you off in traffic. Maybe someone at the office is trying to get your promotion that's coming, or something along those lines. And it's hard to be kind to a person who's opposed to you, against you. Ask God to help you with that. Even be kind to people who don't deserve it. And so just pray and ask God to grow that fruit in your life. And God will do it. He absolutely will do it. And then this morning, if you've never responded to the gospel, and see, you can't have this fruit without the Holy Spirit, and you can't have the Holy Spirit without salvation. And so the Bible makes it clear, long ago, man sinned. He was cut off from God. God sent Jesus. He died on the cross so that our relationship with God could be restored. It could be repaired. We could once again be friends of God rather than enemies of God. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, that we are the enemies of God. That is, those who are in sin are the enemies of God. And so God wants to graciously forgive your sins. And He wants to give you His Holy Spirit, who will transform and change your life and grow the fruit that we're looking at in Galatians chapter 5. If you've never responded to the gospel, and you need to, in order for your relationship with God to be restored, this morning you have an opportunity to do that, and we encourage you to respond as we stand.